Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
But today we are in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, and I want to talk about decisions. I want to talk about decisions. Each one of us make decisions every day. And, you know, we make decisions. Some decisions we see are about, we know this is something that is big and I'd better take my time when I consider making this decision. Other decisions are small and insignificant. At least they may seem insignificant to us at the time. And so we just go ahead and make that decision and carry on with life. Terry and I were going through Walmart the other day, and we were down the bread aisle, and she said, "I want some cinnamon raisin bread." And so there's three different kinds of cinnamon raisin bread up there. And I said, "What kind do you want?" She says, "I want the one in the red wrapper." And so I don't know what manufacturer that was, but we got the one in the red wrapper. I did not ask her if she was sure that that was the decision that she wanted to make. I didn't ask her if maybe we needed to compare the ingredients and make sure that this was, you know, nutritiously better for us. Some decisions we just go ahead and make. If she wants the cinnamon raisin bread in the red wrapper, then she's going to get the cinnamon raisin bread in the red wrapper. But we all make decisions. And our lives at this point, wherever you are at this point, your life is the culmination of every decision that you've ever made. Amen? You are here today because of a decision that you made. And it could have been that some of those decisions were decisions that you didn't think much of. You just went ahead and did it and maybe didn't commit much prayer to that decision. It just seemed the obvious decision to make, and so you made it. And then to find out years later that perhaps that decision was a pivotal decision to make. Terry and I were living up in Michigan and had a little house up there, had our family up there, surrounded by our families, and things happened and the opportunity arose for us to come down to Arkansas. And so we had to make a decision, and we probably prayed about it a little bit, and that was the decision that got us to the South. And then there was another decision that we made to leave that employment and go over to another company and work for them. And then there was a decision when the owner of that company said, "I'm going to Houston. Would you like to come along?" And we made that decision, even though we had made the comment together that we will never live in Houston, Texas. You remember that? Yes. And as I was coming over here working in sales and whatever, Terry just told me, "You just go ahead and do your sales and do your thing over there. But just keep in mind, we are never moving to Houston, Texas." And I said, "Baby, I drive in the traffic over there. You can bet your life we're never moving to Houston, Texas." So here we are in Houston, Texas. And as a matter of fact, I found out something. If you want something from God, maybe just make the proclamation, "Well, this ain't never going to happen." And just maybe it might. And so, different things happened. I can see that we took a little church, the Overcoming Church, and just took it. We didn't want to, but they needed a pastor, and they were begging us to come and just help out for a little while. And so we said, "Well, it can't hurt. for us to go over and help out over there. But it was there where one of the ladies in the church says, well, we want to have this evangelist come in. And I just thought about it and I said, well, you know, it really can't hurt to have an evangelist come in. It's no big deal. Let's go ahead and have this evangelist come in. And this evangelist came in and he brought with him Pastor Alexander from India. And we had a good time. We established a nice relationship, a friendship there. And they went on their way. And we went on our way and probably thinking never again would our paths cross. And a few months later, that church just kind of ceased to exist. And just on a whim, I made the decision of, well, let's call Pastor Alexander and see if there's anything going on over there. And that opened up the whole door for us going to India and starting the churches and things over there. And I can see all of the things that has happened in our lives made or as a result of the decisions made, some of which we just really showered with prayer. Others just seemed so trite that no harm could come of this, should we do this, and we didn't give any thought or prayer at all to it. And yet we see how our decisions changed our lives. How the decisions that we make not only change our lives and the lives of our family, but change the lives of hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And so our decisions matter. And each of us make decisions. We make a decision to reach out to somebody. We make a decision to go to the store. We make decisions every day. And today, over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, Paul is talking about the decisions that we're going to make. Important decisions. And he begins in verse 22 saying that in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. And so Paul is talking to believers and he's saying you have to make a decision when it comes to your old self. The BC you, the before Christ you, that you have to make a decision to lay aside those things that used to be so important in your life. These are the things that are corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. In other words, everything that this world has to offer is a lie. It's deceit. And everything that this world has to offer is meant to get us to lust for that. That's what we want. We must have this thing in our lives. If we have this thing, if we wear this clothing, if we wear this perfume or this cologne, if we buy this house, if we drive this car, then we are going to be successful. We're going to be happy. And Paul reminds us that it's all corrupt. What does corrupt mean? It's just rusting away. Amen? As a matter of fact, the Word tells us that heaven and earth are going to pass away. And only the Word of God is going to remain. Amen? Amen? And so we need to realize that what we see around us in this world is a lie. All the good things, the happy things, the wealthy, elite people that smoke this cigarette and drink this vodka and drive this car and wear these clothes and all this, it's all a lie. None of that will ever bring peace. None of it will ever bring contentment. As I've said before, and we've all heard so many times, you ask a rich man, how much money is enough? And he will tell you, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Amen? And so Paul is admonishing us. When it comes to the things of this world, we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision to say no to these things. Because after all, it is a lie. Oh, but the appeal is there. The draw is there. Our friends are all wrapped up in this. They're inviting us to participate. Everything that is important to the world around us, this is what we are being encouraged to participate with. And Paul says it's deceit. It's all a lie. And we have to make a decision. And he said, we make the decision to put off. Say, I'm not going to do it anymore. Why? Because it's a lie. Because it is rusting away. Amen? Verse 23, instead that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And so Paul is saying that there's another decision. Not only do we make the decision to put off our old way of doing things, but we make the decision to start doing the new things that God has for us. And first of all, in verse 23, he says that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Where are all decisions made? Right up here. What influences those decisions? Whatever you have put up here. You surround your... You've heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out. A computer can only make the decision based on the data that has been fed to it. Your mind can only make the decision based on the data that you have fed your mind. And if you fed it full of garbage, then that's the kind of you're going to make garbage decisions. But when we let the Spirit of God and fill it with the Word of God, put that data, put that love of God, put His Word in our mind, then our mind can be renewed. Amen? As a matter of fact, I'll tell you in a very practical way how this works. Most of you know that Terry and I were involved with a certain rehab facility down in Hungerford, Texas. And we would take in anybody that had a life-controlling problem. Most of us think of drug rehab or alcohol rehab. But anything that becomes a controlling problem in your life is an addiction. Amen? And so we would bring in people literally from all over the world into our drug rehab program. And for the first several months, do you know what their rehabilitation consisted of? They were given a little cubicle. And in that cubicle, they were given an assignment to begin to read the Word of God. And they weren't allowed to talk to anybody else. Why? Because all you have is garbage up here. And you talk to some other student that's in the program, and look at everything that you had in your mind has got you to this place. All right? Everything that you had in your mind has brought you to a place of failure, so now you have surrendered to us. And we would tell them, and sometimes it would sound heartless, you don't have anything good to say. You don't have anything good to think. So we don't want to hear it. Now, they would be given a big brother or a big sister that they could talk to. All right? But for the first several months, all we would do was fill their mind with the Word of God. And you know what happens when you start filling your mind with the Word of God? The Bible says your mind is renewed. Amen. It's made new. All of that old bad programming that was in there, it gets replaced with good stuff. Terry has a certain online place that she liked to go to. What was it? Facebook? Okay? And the programmers over at Facebook decided to change the programming for the games. And as they changed the programming for the games, Terry didn't like it anymore. And she said, okay, you've put in different programming. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to do something else with my time. You see, they reprogrammed it. They reprogrammed it wrong. They got it wrong, and so now it's a failure, and people aren't going there. Well, what we need to do is reprogram our mind according to God's Word. Amen. Amen? To know the words of Jesus. I've often told people that are baby Christians, read the red. Find yourself a red letter edition of the Word of God. The red letter edition is where the words of Jesus are written in red. And you just start reading the red. Read the words of Jesus. Reprogram your mind to know the words of Jesus. And when you do that, then your mind is being renewed. And when your mind is being renewed with the Word of God, now you're going to be able to make good decisions.
Amen.
You still have a choice to make, but at least now you have good data. You have good information. And now you can make that choice. And I think every one of us here are very intimately aware, familiar with making those choices. We know what the Word of God says. We know what the right choice is. But you know, sometimes the old flesh and the things of this world seem mighty tempting. And God just, I know, but let me do it this way, just this once. Amen? We're all making decisions, aren't we? Sometimes we make the right decision, sometimes we make the wrong decision. So first of all, we have to get the Word of God into us to remake our minds so at least we have the right idea. When you're out there in the world, you don't even have any idea what the right idea is because you don't have the Word of God in your life. Amen? I would say, so that your mind is renewed in the Spirit. Number 24, verse 24, and you put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. There's a new you in Jesus. The Bible says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And we have that choice every morning when we get up, whether we're going to put on the old corruptible thing or we're going to put on the new you in Jesus. Now, I can remember times in college and so many times we weren't real faithful in making sure that the laundry was kept up. And so you'd wake up in the morning and you've got to run off to that 7:30 class and you're dashing about your room trying to get dressed and you don't have any clean clothes. And so you go over there and you pick up a shirt and you go, ooh, I can't wear that. And you go through all your dirty clothes until you find something that isn't quite as bad smelling as the rest of them. Amen. I often said, if it wasn't crawling down the hallway all by itself, then it was clean enough to wear. When it's able to crawl down the hallway on itself by itself, you probably don't want to wear it. All right? And you would make that choice because you made the choice earlier not to do your laundry. All right? So you didn't have any kind of a choice now except to wear that dirty old laundry. When we get up in the mornings, now each one of us have a choice. Are we going to wear the old laundry, the old us, the before Jesus us? Are we going to start walking that way as we walk down the hallways and a decision has to be made? Are we going to put on the old self or are we going to put on the new self that God has created for us in Jesus? Amen? Amen. You put on, and sometimes we just do. I'm speaking for myself, but I have an idea I'm speaking for all of us. Sometimes we make that decision that we're just going to take I'm going to wear the dirty laundry today. That's just the decision that I'm going to make, and sooner or later we regret that. Or we make that decision, no, God has given me a new me in Christ Jesus. Put on the new self. I like that. Each one of us have a new self. I hope each one of us are wearing that new self today. We've put on that new self with the new information so that we can make good decisions. Amen. Put on the new self which is in the likeness of God. Uh-oh. When we decide to walk for Jesus, when people look at us, who in effect are they seeing? Amen. Jesus. It's in the likeness of God. All right. Now, does that mean that God looks like me? Is He wearing a blue shirt this morning? And a tie? Oh, I doubt it. Okay. We have assigned to God certain, human terms, but God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He doesn't have a body. There is a member of the Godhead who has been assigned that responsibility of bodily representing the Godhead here on this earth. Who is that? Jesus. All right? And so we put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. Folks, the only God that some of the people that walk these hallways will ever see will be us. Amen? As a matter of fact, I can remember as a baby Christian saying, "Oh God, I just want to see you. If I can't see you, let me see an angel." Never happened. But it's because all you have to do is open your eyes to your brothers and sisters around you, and you're seeing God. Amen? Amen? I like that. You want to see God? Open your eyes. He's before you in the form of His children, which is in the likeness of God, created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We do things right. What is righteousness?
Right living.
Making the right choices. Right according to whose standards? God's standards. The truth. Right according to the truth. Right according to the Word of God. That's who we are. That's the decision that we make. Verse 25, therefore, laying aside falsehood. In other words, you have to make that decision. Somebody walks down the hallway and you say, "You know what? I'm going to do what Pastor challenged me to do. I'm going to show forth the love of God this morning. This person that's coming up here, they're going to be so blessed because I'm going to smile and say, 'Hello, so-and-so. I hope that you are having a blessed day.'" And so you do that and they look at you and they say, "Stick it where the sun don't shine." All right? Then what do? Okay. All right. And Grace takes out her guitar and anoints them with the guitar. That's right. See, if we're going to put on righteousness, we have to do the right thing even in the face of something bad. We have to do the right thing even when we're faced with something we didn't expect. Amen? We still have to do the right thing. Amen? So we've been created in righteousness and holiness. Therefore, laying aside every falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbors, because we are members one to another. Amen? Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. You know, one of the things when I was in business with Fabmark and I was working with Bob and I was the executive VP, and he said, "Dale, the only thing I need from you is the truth." He says, "Everybody else is going to tell me what they think I want to hear. But I need you to tell me the truth." And you say, "Well, that sounds cool." No, because sometimes it's a fearful thing to tell the truth. When the guy you're telling it to has the ability to, you know, put you to the curb and affect your financial status, and he's asked you, "What do you think about this?" And you know that the truth is, this isn't right, or you're going about it the wrong way. But you know that if you're going to do him any good, you've got to tell him the truth. In the same way, when we come together, verse 25, therefore laying aside falsehood, don't tell our friends and neighbors what you think they want to hear. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we're all members one of another. Amen? And if somebody says, I just don't like what's going on, and I think I just need to give somebody a good piece of my mind. Are you with me? Let's go down and chew out so-and-so. Can't let this happen. Are you with me? And the easy thing would be to say, You go do it. I've got to go shopping right now, but you go on ahead. Give them a piece of your mind. No, the hard thing is to say, you know what, I can appreciate what you're feeling right now, but you probably shouldn't do that. To tell them the truth. Listen, there are lots of yes men and yes women that'll just agree with everything. A true friend is going to tell you the truth. Amen? And so we need to make good decisions. Good decisions based on the facts, not based on emotions. I teach my cadets in the character leadership program that you make a decision based on emotion, and it's probably going to come back to bite you. You make a decision based on the facts, and then you may not like the results of that decision, but at least you've made a decision where you have carefully weighed all of the facts, and you've gotten some insight, and you've gotten some direction, and you've done your very best. But you don't make decisions based on emotion. You know, a lot of people make decisions for Jesus based on emotion. He went to church and the songs were just right, and somebody was saying, "Oh, let's go down and get saved," and you made an emotional decision to get saved. But you know, that emotional decision will carry you just so far. It's when you have sat down and you begin to understand the Word of God, and you begin to understand how this is the only way it can be. How I've made a decision that perhaps it was emotional, but now I know the facts. And I've made a decision based on these facts. And Satan will come along, and the things of this world will come along and try to sway you from the decision that you've made for Jesus. And you stand on that fact that I believe the Word of God. And the Word of God says this, and I have accepted that as fact. Folks, you have to have some standard of fact in your life. Then you can choose the Encyclopedia Britannica and use that as your standard of fact, and you will find out that every year they put out an addendum to the encyclopedia because the facts have changed. Amen? Now, there are a lot of versions of God's Word, King James Version, American Standard Version, but there are no addendums. Amen? There's nothing that said, oh, this was said here, but now that's not true, so we're going to change it over here. Nobody in 2,000 years has put an addendum out to God's Word. His Word is true. His Word is fact. And I've had to make that decision that I'm going to base my life on God's Word. I told you about the interesting little encyclopedia for children that my parents got me when I was just, 5 or 6 years old. My mother asked me if I wanted this set of encyclopedia, and I said, okay, send it down. And I began to read it, and there was a portion in there that said, man has always dreamed of going to the moon, but the science tells us that we will probably never. It's just a dream. It's just a subject of science fiction stories. Man will never go to the moon. And I read that and I just really had to chuckle. I just had to laugh. Because this is what the best scientific minds had to say, that we would never go to the moon. I'm wondering how quickly they had to get an addendum out to that. Oops, went to the moon. Never mind what we said over here. All right, so science changes, but the Word of God doesn't change. Amen. Amen? So we need to decide that we're going to make our choices. We're going to make our decisions based on God's Word. And at least we know that those facts will never change. At least we know that regardless of how that decision is received by others here on this earth, that when we get to glory, that we're going to be greeted by a God who is going to reward us for that decision to put off the old self and to put on the new self that has been created for us in His image. And to make those decisions because our minds have been renewed by the Word of God. And we've started making decisions based on the fact of Scripture. Amen? So, what decisions are you going to make? You're saying, well, after church, Pastor, we're going out to dinner. And we're going to look at the menu and make a choice. See, we're making choices. We're making decisions all the time. And you can say, what harm can there be in that? Well, Terry and I last night, we went to a little birthday party and they had, well, first, we hadn't eaten all day, so we quickly, as we were at Walmart, we stopped by McDonald's and got a couple of Big Macs. All right? And I'd like to say we sat down and slowly ingested two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. All right? But no, we just scarfed it down real quick and went on our way. And then a little bit, several hours later, we're at the birthday party where they're serving pizza. Terry made a decision. She said, you know, if I eat this pizza, I'll probably have heartburn. Dale, on the other hand, said, oh, pizza. And I had two little pieces. I mean, really, little pieces. I made the decision based on the assumption, what damage can two little pieces of pizza do? All right? And I found out about an hour and a half later that you take those two little pieces of pizza, put them on top of a hastily ingested Big Mac, and you're looking for the Pepto-Bismol. You're looking for the antacid. See, every decision has consequences. Amen? Perhaps I should have used a little of Holy Ghost wisdom. Maybe ask my wife what she thought, since she already made the correct decision. Every choice we make has consequences, good or bad, even if it's what we're going to eat. Amen? So let's use the wisdom based on the knowledge and the good data that the Holy Spirit has given us, looking to Him and understanding there's no small choice. Every choice has its consequences. So we're going to choose what the Word of God says so we can get the reward and glory. Amen?
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the